We're glad you've joined us for today's program. Brave is the Bible teaching ministry of Jeff Swarzentraw, senior pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. Brave exists to challenge brave warriors for courageous kingdom advancement. And that's the goal of this program. To learn more about Pastor Jeff and the ministry of Brave, visit our website at bravepastorjeff.com. There you'll find full sermons and other resources to equip you to be a brave warrior. And if you'd like to give a gift to keep programs like this one going strong, you can do that as well. The website again is bravepastorjeff.com. Today on Brave, Pastor Jeff begins his message, The Making of a Man, and examines Moses' journey in Exodus to show you how God transforms ordinary people into extraordinary leaders when they fully surrender to Him. Now, here's today's program.
A couple decades ago, after I finished seminary, I was preaching at my home church in Peoria, Illinois. And when I finished preaching, I watched this guy come forward and I recognized him from high school. He was there with his new wife. And when he came up, he said these words to me. He said, "My mom said you were going to be here today, and I had to come see this for myself. What in the world happened to you?" He said, "You're not the same guy I played baseball with in high school. You're not the same guy I watched run around. What changed?" And I told him how the Lord Jesus had changed my life. He knew the gospel. He was just having a hard time believing that God still changed people, right? Do you know that God still does transformative work in people's lives today? That the gospel is not just a set of creeds or rules or do's and don'ts, but when we align ourselves in long-term obedience with the God of the Bible, that He transforms who we are, that He makes us into something that He wants. As we're studying the book of Exodus, it's been a great study because we see how God calls a man. And we see as this man is being made by God, the making of this man, he looks different in chapter 11 than he's gonna look in verses 3 and 4. When God calls him in 3 and 4, his stature and his stance is, I don't know that it's me. I mean, really cool that this bush is on fire but not burning. I'm impressed. Really neat that you want to go deliver the Israelites, but I think you got the wrong guy. Go find somebody else for that kind of work. I got more important things to do. I'm enjoying being a shepherd. When God continues to press, he says, "You know what? How about get my brother Aaron? He's a better speaker than me." You got the wrong guy. God did not have the wrong guy. And the reality is, when we go all in with Jesus Christ, he still transforms us today. You say, "Well, what's the big deal?" Here's the big deal. There's a lot of people in churches today that falsely believe that God only can use some in the ministry. Those are called pastors or worship leaders or staff. But that for the rest of us, well, what else is there? I'm kind of doing enough. I attend church fairly regularly and I'm a pretty nice person. I want to tell you on the authority of God's word that if you go all in with Jesus and you have long-term obedience in the same direction that he leads you, he will transform every single part of your life. That he can use you in the same way that you hear about or you read about in God's word. As I was preparing for this week, I hope you've enjoyed the study of Exodus about half as much as I have. I mean, it's been phenomenal for me to study this all afresh, all again. And when you're teaching through a book, it's hard to know where to stop. Like, what passage are we going to take? How far is the preaching portion actually going to be? And I had intended to get all the way into chapter 12 today because we'll be super familiar with chapter 12. The slaying of the spotless lamb, the blood on the doorpost, the exodus of the people of Israel going out of Egypt, all the stuff that we'll remember. But as I got into chapter 11 and I started reading it, I started saying, no, we're going to pause right here. Because in those short 10 verses, we see the making of a man. We see the transformational power of God in anybody that will continue to walk with God. If you're a person and said, "I wish God could use me," or "I wish God could use me more than he is," I believe God has a word for you today. I'm going to invite you to open up your Bible to Exodus chapter 11. Exodus chapter 11. I want to read through it because it's only 10 verses long. So you can hear it, have your heart set on it, and then we'll unpack these verses together and take a look at God's transformational power. I entitled this message, The Making of a Man, because he's talking specifically about Moses, but the same would be true. This is how he transforms women. This is how he transforms boys and how he transforms girls. This is for anybody that will walk with him in obedience. Notice what he says. It says, "Now the Lord said to Moses, 'One more plague I will bring on Pharaoh and on Egypt. And after that, he will let you go from here. When he lets you go, he will surely drive you out from here completely. Speak now in the hearing of the people that each man ask from his neighbor and each woman from her neighbor for articles of silver and articles of gold. The Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Furthermore, the man Moses himself was greatly esteemed in the land of Egypt, both in the sight of Pharaoh's servants and in the sight of the people. Moses said, "Thus says the Lord, about midnight I am going out into the midst of Egypt, and all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sits on the throne, even to the firstborn of the slave girl who is behind the millstones, all the firstborn of the cattle as well. Moreover, there shall be a great cry in all the land of Egypt, as there has not been before, and such as shall never be again. But against any of the sons of Israel, a dog will not even bark, whether against man or beast, that you may understand and know that the Lord makes a distinction between Egypt and Israel. All these your servants will come down to me and bow themselves before me, saying, 'Go out, you and all the people who follow you, and after that I will go out.' And he went out from Pharaoh in hot anger. Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Pharaoh will not listen to you, so that my wonders may be multiplied in the land of Egypt.' Moses and Aaron performed all these wonders before Pharaoh, yet the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he did not let the sons of Israel go out of his land." And here what we see in chapter 11 is super connected to chapter 10. What we've seen so far, just to give you a little highlight on what God has done, is he's called his servant Moses to let his people go. Moses' sermon, his talk to the Pharaoh was, "Let my people go that they may serve me." Moses wanted all the people of Israel, the men, the women, the boys, and the girls, and all of their animals to go out in the wilderness, and God would show them how to worship. And what we've seen is when Pharaoh hardened his heart towards the Lord, God began to harden Pharaoh's heart towards him. People wonder, was God hardening his heart or was Pharaoh hardening his heart? Here's the answer. You ready? Yes. When you bring a hard heart towards God, it hardens even more. When you bring a tender heart towards God, he can soften it. Man is without excuse. If you have a hard heart towards God, that's your problem. The God of all grace and mercy is willing to soften your heart, but you have to do it on his terms. Because Pharaoh wouldn't do that, God sent plague after plague after plague after plague. We went through 9 of them. I'll walk through them really quickly. You'll remember the Nile that was turned to blood. Basically, God showing, "I can shut down your entire economic system with one touch of Moses' staff." We saw the frogs, basically talking about the fertility God. And God was saying, "I'm the God of and the giver of life." We saw the gnats and the lice. We saw the God of nature and order, and God was saying, "I'm the one. I'm the God of nature and order." We saw the flies that came upon the land. The fly was representing the God who was the protector, and God was saying, "I'm the protector of everyone." Then we saw the killing of all the livestock. We saw the Egyptian God that was the sacrificial intermediator, and he was showing, "I'm going to be the mediator between God and man. It's me that you serve." Then he sent boils, which, you know, showed that the warrior king of Egypt was not the true warrior king, that God is the warrior king that heals. Then we saw the locusts. The locust was the Egyptian resurrection God, and Jesus was saying, "I'm the resurrection God." And then we saw this final plague, this 9th plague that we've been through, of darkness, and God was showing that he's the God of light. He's the God of order. You worship this God of the sun, I turn on and off the lights. I created the sun. And in every way, we see Pharaoh continue to say he had a hard heart. Last week, we showed how he gave lip service. "You can go now, please go." But then he would do what? He would harden his heart. And we talked about the fact that repentance is always accompanied with behavior. If you're truly repentant, you will change your behavior. Lip service doesn't mean anything. Lip service is not repentance. And over, Pharaoh has done this all the way as we got through chapter 10. And as he got through chapter 10, Pharaoh was so upset, he told Moses, "You will never see my face again." And Moses responded and said, "You are right, I shall never see your face again." Chapter 10, those first couple of verses, those first 3 verses are parenthetical. It's telling us what God had shared with Moses. And then chapter 4 is gonna buttress right up to the end of chapter 10. This is all one complete thought. So as we get into this, let's talk this morning about how God transforms people, how God makes a man, how God makes a woman, how God grows us through long-term obedience in the same direction. And here's what God does.
You're listening to Brave. And today, Pastor Jeff is sharing his message, The Making of a Man, examining Moses' journey in Exodus to show you how God transforms ordinary people into extraordinary leaders when they fully surrender to him. We'll return to his teaching in a moment, but before we do, we want to help you be prepared to go boldly against the flow of culture and unapologetically take a stand for kingdom values. And we invite you to become a Brave Warrior today by signing up for emails from Pastor Jeff. You'll get exclusive first look access to exciting new content, ministry updates, and resources to help you fight the good fight of faith and boldly pursue the fulfillment of the Great Commission. To become a Brave Warrior, simply go to bravepastorjeff.com to sign up. Again, that's bravepastorjeff.com. Now, let's return to Pastor Jeff and hear more of today's Bible teaching.
And here's what God does. As God grows us in obedience, God transforms your ears with his voice, and he transforms your eyes with his favor. As you walk in obedience to the Lord long enough, God will transform your ears with his voice and your eyes with his favor. Notice verse 1. Now the Lord said to Moses, one more plague I will bring on Pharaoh and on Egypt, and after that he will let you go. When he lets you go, he will surely drive you out completely. What's he telling him? He's telling him, there's going to be a 10th plague. And what we don't see is Moses saying, why? Come on. How many more times do I have to go back? Why are we doing it this way? I don't understand. God's telling him, this is what's going to happen. And after the 10th one, he's going to drive you out. And you can see Moses confident in the voice of God. Like, if that's the way you're going to do it, then that's the way you're going to do it. And I'm done arguing with you. As you continue to grow in your relationship with the Lord, you need to hear his voice. Hearing the voice of God is an absolute must for you to grow. You cannot grow in your Christian faith without hearing the voice of God. It's impossible. I mean, if you're hearing impaired and you go to a concert and you see everybody clapping at the same time and singing the same lyrics, you may feel a little bit left out. Maybe you'd feel some of the bass coming off the stage, but you wouldn't be able to participate to the full, and you'd have to look around at what other people are doing and try to clap when they clap and try to sing when they sing and try to do when they do what they do, and it would be miserable. Why? Because you can't hear it. Do you know there's a lot of people that attend church just like that? They come to church not because they're hearing the voice of God. They come to church to learn their religious routine, when to stand, when to sit, what to do it, how to go through the routines, how to go through the rituals. Can I just tell you, God does not care about your rituals and your routines. He cares about what he has prescribed in his word, and he wants you to respond to his voice. Jesus said in John 10, my sheep know what? My voice. It'd be interesting if when you got to heaven, there was door number one, door number two, and door number three, and you got to listen to who was behind it and choose the door. Now, that's theologically incorrect, just so you know, it doesn't happen. But I wonder if you could pick the right door. Are you acquainted with the voice of God? I mean, when it comes to your phone, there's certain people that could call, you could just pick up, and when they say hello, even if you didn't see the caller ID and you didn't know who it was, you would know who it was just by the way they said hello. You would know what kind of mood they're in just by the way they said hello. You would have known what kind of day they're having just by the way they said hello. You would know if they're mad at you or happy with you just by the way they say hello. Are you acquainted with the voice of God like that? God wants us to know him and be so intimately acquainted with him that we know what he's going to say sometimes even before he says it. When I played football in high school, we used to signal our plays in from the sideline. And there were a couple of times, you know, during the season where, you know, I'd be doing this, like repeat it, but the clock was winding down and I had to get in the huddle. But if my coach, who was 30, 40, 50 yards away, would start mouthing what the play was, I knew what it was. I was so familiar with his voice, even among all the crowd. Do you know the voice of Jesus like that? God wants to speak to you. And one of the ways that God speaks to you, and the primary way that God speaks to you, is through his living and active word. This book right here, all 66 books that make up one book called the Bible, is God speaking. Anytime you read it, study it, meditate on it, memorize it, hear it proclaimed or taught, you are hearing God speak. Did you know that? I believe all of this book is for sure. I believe all of this book is real. A steady diet of his word will change your life. Now, you've chosen to come to Brave, and whether this is your first time at Brave or you've been coming here for years, I can tell you this, you will never, ever have to worry about whether your pastor believes in the inerrancy and authority of the word, ever. This is what we believe. I believe if you don't stand up here and proclaim this book, you're not giving God the time he wants, and I don't know what else you could possibly be talking about. It's interesting for me that some churches and some pastors that I've listened to, and there's several great ones out there, but some tend to apologize for whatever they're going to preach on any given Sunday. Whether they're teaching on marriage or the roles of women or the roles in marriage or divorce or money or the Bible or creation or the book of Revelation or spiritual gifts or salvation or even the culture, they stand up and say something like this: "Hey, before we get started today, I want you to know this is a very hard topic." Well, of course it's a hard topic, because God is speaking things from his throne that fly in the face of everything that you and our culture believe to be true. And if a pastor is going to be a PR agent rather than a proclaimer and a heralder of God's word, you can't hear what God's saying. And one of the reasons why the Bible is so offensive is because so few faithfully and accurately teach it. It's a shame. Amen. So if you were to say, how am I going to hear God? Here's what I would say. Start reading and studying the Bible. And not just so you become an expert in what the Bible says. In other words, I didn't know what a Corinthian was. Now I know what a Corinthian is. I had no idea what a Philippian was. Now I know what a Philippian is. Who cares? Do you hear the voice of God when you read, and will you apply what he's showing you? I didn't understand this when I first became a believer. I was told I needed to have what was called a quiet time, which meant I needed to study the Bible and read it. And so as I began to do that, just to be perfectly candid with you, there were times where I would read my Bible, and this is me, hindsight, 30 some years later, I would read it and I would be so convicted that I thought I was a bad person. I thought God was mad at me every time I opened the Bible because I wasn't doing what he said I should be doing. So there were times where I'm like, I'm done with the Bible study thing. I feel worse after I study it than before. And I would close it and sit it on my shelf for a week. And then people say, but you need the Bible. Okay, I need the Bible. That feel worse again. What I didn't realize at the time is that the Lord was showing me a new identity, and the way in which I was living was not the way he wanted. And he loved me enough that he was showing me things that needed to change so that I could experience life to the full and enjoy the life I had in Christ. He was showing me that I was forgiven in Christ through the cross, but he was also showing me he wasn't going to leave me where I was at. Amen? And what we need to understand is we need to hear his voice. The more acquainted with God's word you become, the more acquainted with his voice you'll be. And I believe God can speak in other supernatural ways. I think God can speak through dreams and visions and a subjective voice that's down in your heart, but it will never, ever go against the written and authoritative word of God, ever. So the more acquainted you are with this book, the more you're going to be able to hear God subjectively. Because this book is primary. Nothing changes in this book. Nothing is added to it. Nothing is taken away. And this is such a big deal. I mean, this is so current. People say, you need to make the Bible relevant. The Bible is completely relevant in every single generation if you just preach it. And here's why I get fired up about it. In the denomination that I grew up in, that I left about 30 years ago, there's a debate now as to whether you should let homosexuals be ordained into the clergy. And it's not an issue of homosexuality. It's an issue of biblical authority. It's an issue of, do you believe the Bible to be true, or do you believe man's opinions about the culture to be true? If you believe the Bible to be true, it's not even a debate. It's not even a debate. It's not even worth having a conference on, right? You just said, here's what God says, and it's done, and it's complete. Let's move on and do what he wants us to do. But it seems like in every great move of God, when people are trusting the Bible and moving, that very movement that gets it started later on is going off the rails. I can say this because I was raised a Methodist. John Wesley would not be a Methodist, and John Wesley would not be Wesleyan, because he's a Bible bigot. He told us there was only one book he believed in. It was the Bible. His followers, as a general whole, don't. And it's hard because I know several people who are Methodists who love Jesus with their whole heart who are having to deal with all this garbage. May it never be. Can we just champion the word of God and hold the word of God high, and where we feel challenged or we don't like what God has to say, just say this: God, you need to change my heart because I'm uncomfortable with what you're saying, but I know you're right and I know I'm wrong, so change me. And when we live like that, God does something great. And what's even harder for me is listening to pastors try to placate and say how the culture's changed and how you can't really trust the Bible anymore. And what I want to say back is Luke 9:26. Jesus said, anyone who is ashamed of me and my words, I'll be ashamed of him when I come. Well, what words? All of them. All of them. Genesis 1:1 is the most difficult passage to believe. If you believe that, everything else is easy. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Who created it all? God. How did he do it? He's going to tell you in chapter 1 and 2. Well, if he did that, is anything else hard to believe? Is it hard to think he could become incarnate flesh and take a walk on a pond that he created? Is it hard to believe that he could feed 5,000 people with just 5 loaves and 2 fish? Not if you believe that out of nothing he made everything. It's just that we don't believe the word. Or we have pastors say, well, I don't believe that part, but I believe this part. Listen, Jesus said that this was the very word that testified about him, yet you refused to come to him to have life. Everything in this testifies about Jesus. To say that I don't believe some of this is to say I don't believe some of Jesus. It's all true, y'all. When God transforms you, he transforms your ears first. He gets you listening to a voice that's different than any other voice that you're going to hear. It goes counter to everything that you believed prior to believing. God's still doing a work in my life. God's still speaking to me through his voice. God's still showing me things in his word. I haven't arrived yet. None of us have arrived yet. But that's what he's doing with Moses. And he says that Pharaoh will surely drive him out of here completely. But notice what else. God not only transforms your ears with his voice, but he transforms your eyes with his favor. Notice what he tells Moses. He goes, he's going to drive you out completely. And why is that important? Because God's ultimate plan for salvation is complete salvation. God doesn't want you to be kind of partially in and partially out. He doesn't want you to struggle with the same sin over and over for the rest of your life. What does he want? He wants to take you from who you were and make you complete in Christ all the time. And notice what he says. He says, speak now in the hearing of the people that each man ask from his neighbor and each woman from her neighbor for articles of silver and articles of gold. The Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Furthermore, the man Moses himself was greatly esteemed in the land of Egypt, both in the sight of Pharaoh's servants and in the sight of his people. Do you see what's going on here? Do you see what he's saying? He's saying this, go to your neighbors and ask them for their gold and silver. Does that take some courage? I don't think that's the applicational point for us today. It's not go to your neighbors and ask them for gold and silver, but that's what he was saying. He's saying, when you leave, you're going to leave with everything. I've already destroyed the nation. We're going to plunder everything. When you come with me, I'm giving you everything you need because I'm a God that blesses and I'm a God of favor. That's what I do. And then what else does he say? He tells Moses that he was going to become favorable in all of Egypt. So Moses is the one bringing the plagues. Moses is the one that has brought God's word to the people, and all of Egypt is suffering. Israel was mad when he got there because he made their work harder. And now what happens? Long-term obedience in the same direction does what? It gives Moses stature in the sight of the Egyptians, and it gives Moses stature in the sight of Israel. Only God can do that. Now, I know a lot of people, when I talk about favor, they're like, you don't talk about favor. That's prosperity gospel. That's wrong. Well, I'm going to talk about it. Because the Bible says that every good and perfect gift comes from the Lord. If there's anything good that happens when you don't deserve it, it's God. And what does the Bible make clear? The Bible makes clear that God is good. He says in the Bible, you who are evil, who know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more your heavenly Father? He's a good Father. The Bible makes clear this, that there's a problem in the world. The problem's sin. That's the root cause of every evil thing that we see, and you're responsible for it, and you've contributed to it. And if that's the case, and God is holy, righteous, and good, and God's going to punish all those who are that way, then any good thing that happens is good. We ask questions like this. Why are some children born stillborn? Why are some marriages not working out? Hey, why are some people having a hard time? Why are some people... A better question is this, why aren't all kids born still? Why don't all marriages break up? Why doesn't everybody have to beg? Do you know why? Because God is good. And if there's anything good that happens in your life, what are you called to do? Praise the Lord for every good thing you have. See, we've been trained by the enemy to look at every bad thing in the world and then say this question. If God is so good, then why is it so bad? God's answer is this, it's so bad because of you. But let me tell you something. If you'll focus on what I'm doing, you will see glimpses of my goodness every single place that you look.
Thanks for listening to Brave. That was Pastor Jeff with his message, The Making of a Man, examining Moses' journey in Exodus to show you how God transforms ordinary people into extraordinary leaders when they fully surrender to him. Your support keeps this program going out to people across the nation, challenging them to boldly fight for the fulfillment of the Great Commission in our lifetime. To give a gift of support today, go to bravepastorjeff.com. Before you go, we want to invite you to visit Brave Church at any of our campuses, Englewood, Westminster, and our newest location in Colorado Springs. Or you can join us right from home through our weekend live stream. Visit bravechurch.online. Scroll down and click the Brave Church link at the bottom for details and directions. Thanks for joining us today.